I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With you, and that was a recording that the J6 prisoners in jail made of the Star Spangled Banner. Donald Trump, of course, they interposed his words. It is just so moving, and as many of you know that have listened to me, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. This is a issue dear to my heart. I've talked to so many of them in prison. I met with one of the moms recently whose son is in prison and is going to be there till 2025. And yet, so many of them have maintained their love of country. Many of them are military, but a lot of them are small business owners. Some are, you know, in law enforcement. These are not dangerous criminals. This is not what they are. They are men that wanted to do something to make sure the election wasn't stolen, and they wanted to support their president, which was President Trump. There are varying degrees. We could talk about that. But I, you know, by and large, that was I believe, terrible manipulation by the powers that be that we now know more about. And so that was just a beautiful rendition, though, of the Star Spangled Banner. And that leads us into our conversation today, because we're going to be talking with Todd Starnes. He's written a new book called Can America Be Saved? But the title is Twilight's Last Gleaming. And, of course, that's a line from the Star Spangled Banner. We'll talk to Todd shortly. At the end of the show today, I'm going to play for you the story of Francis Scott Key and his pinning of the Star Spangled Banner. It's just, I just ran across it, and I thought, it's time to revisit this, because many of you did not learn about this in school. Some of you have, and I, of course, I did, but it's wonderful to be reminded of the story that set the groundwork for those beautiful words. So we'll listen to that in the last segment today. Well, meanwhile, I'm so grateful that you're listening. You know, you can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can listen on any podcast platform. AFR.net is the go-to place, but you can go to Spotify and Amazon and anywhere that you listen or enjoy listening. You can also write me at sandy@afr.net, and you can listen to the podcast at sandyrios.com. That's easy, too, plus you'll get other information about the show or and about what's going on. My schedule is often there. I can't promise right in this minute, but it's usually posted where I'm going to be if I'm out speaking or doing something, that you could come and meet me. That would be great. All right, so I want to say before we start this interview with Todd, that last year, Preborn's network of clinics saved over 58,000 babies just because of you. Because of you and your generosity. You made that possible. And I'd like us to celebrate together that accomplishment. 58,000 babies. One of the moms we helped is named Katrina. And She had a dream that she was pregnant with a baby boy, and she says she heard a voice that said, Eli. But many around her were pressuring her to get an abortion. For whatever reason, she was led to a preborn network clinic, and that's where she got her free ultrasound. When she saw her baby on the sonogram, she was amazed to see that her baby had a halo. That's what she saw. And then she heard his heartbeat. At that moment, she had no doubt there was a miracle growing inside her womb. And, of course, her son was born, and she named him Eli. Isn't that a great story? Well, if you'd like to help preborn, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. Well, meanwhile, sit back and relax and enjoy this new offering of Todd Starnes. It's always great. What Todd does, everything he does, is professional, well thought out, and funny. It's Can America Be Saved? The Twilight's Last Gleaming on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something. This is Sandy Rios, and our next guest has written, President Biden has ushered in a dark winter of malaise across our great nation. He snuffed out Lady Liberty's bright beacon of hope and brought despair to the land. And now we stand at a time of great choosing. Do we choose the path that leads to freedom or the path that leads to tyranny? Todd Starnes, his new book is called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? He joins us this morning. Good morning, Todd.
Sandy, good morning. Always great to be with you.
Always great to have you with me. And, you know, Todd, it's a very serious beginning. You're a humorist. You remind me of Will Rogers, of course, in your Southern humor. It's just incredible. It's just so funny. This is serious stuff that you've written in your own special way, and we're going to get into the humor of it. But do you really think, let's just start with this, did you really think that we are in our twilight's last gleaming? Do you believe that?
Well, that's the question that I raise in the book, and I don't believe we are. I do believe that America can be saved. The question is, are the American people willing to step up and do what needs to be done to save America? And that's the question we explore in the book, and I try to have a lot of fun with it. It's a serious topic, Sandy, but I think there were ways that I was able to weave humor into the book that I hope people really enjoy.
Oh, I think that's, there's no doubt that's the case. And actually, before we get into it, let me talk to you just a second, because I want to give you a better introduction. In case anybody in the audience doesn't know who you are, Todd is a best-selling author. He's a nationally syndicated radio host. And he was 15 years at Fox News Channel. That's how some of you would know him. He covered during that time three presidents, as well as some of the biggest culture and political stories of the decade. He was named by Barna as one of the most influential voices for evangelical Christians. And now he's the owner of KWAM, K-W-A-M, News Talk in Memphis. He's authored 7 books, and his digital platform is one of the largest in conservative media. But Todd, my audience, at least, well, of course, this is a podcast audience. Some of them are new, but my longtime radio show, An American Family Radio, I have to restate, you know this, It was one of my big requests when I started the morning show that you would be on my show, that your commentary would be there every day because you are such a consummate pro. You're funny and you are profound. So I have to ask you, because I don't think I've ever asked you this, did your humor and your wit, your way with words show up early, like when you were a kid? You know, when your mom was changing your diaper, did you quip something?
Well, normally I wasn't that quick with the wit back when I was a child. But I think it was something that I grew up with. You know, growing up in the southern states, you learn the art of storytelling, and you learn to have a good time. And when possible, turn a phrase or something. And, of course, I try to do that a lot in the book. But yeah, it's, I have to tell you, thoroughly enjoyed those days of being on the radio in the mornings with you. And I tell people I always heard the most from the audience of Sandy Rios, because you played that early morning commentary during your show.
Well, that's cool. Well, I still miss it. I would put you back on my podcast if you do that commentary again.
We were a great team back in the day.
We were. Yes. And then, of course, you were at Fox. I was at Fox way back before you were at Fox. But we miss you on Fox, too. And now you're on Newsmax. We should tell people that. I mean, I don't see that on your bio, but we should tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, so ToddStarnes.com is sort of the landing page for all of this, the podcast, the newsletter, and having a great time doing the Newsmax show on the Newsmax 2 platform, and that show is 5 to 6 o'clock Eastern, and then I do a lot of commenting on some of the other shows throughout the day, but just really having a good time. It's good to be back home in Memphis, and the pace is still as fast and as furious. But at least I have sweet tea and good barbecue, so there you go.
Well, those are the important things of life. In fact, you start out with a story in your book. You don't start out with it, but it's a call from your uncle about things falling apart in Memphis. Just tell that story, and then we're going to go back to the beginning. You get this emergency phone call from your Uncle Jerry about he's got to get back to Memphis. So just tell us that story to prove your point.
Yes. Uncle Jerry, who is a real person, by the way, he's my real uncle, called me up one day and said, you've got to come back to Memphis. And this was during the early days of the pandemic. And he said, there's chaos in the city. And it turns out that the chaos was not the pandemic, but it was the fact the local barbecue joint was now serving something called dry rub tofu. And that set off this fun little story about what I call culture creep, about how many of our long-standing traditions in this nation are coming under attack, barbecue being one of them.
No, that's true. You know, as funny as that is, I see that everywhere, too. We do see it. We just see it changing everywhere. And I remember, I'm from a small town, Todd, as you know. I remember the first time it struck me that my hometown was not going to be untouched from what I was seeing then was satellite dishes, you know, across the fruited plain. And people, you know, started staying in their houses, not getting out. And that was a real turning point socially for small towns, I think. But let's go back to the beginning, because we talked about, I'm going to just give people an idea of your humor, in case they don't know about it. Your opening chapter, and this is what I want to talk about next, is Darth Brandon and the Temple of Doom. Darth Brandon. Now, I'm scratching my chin. I ask, who is Darth Brandon, and what is the Temple of Doom?
Well, I take people back to that infamous speech that Joe Biden, who I call Darth Brandon, borrowing a character from Star Wars, and take people back to that infamous speech he delivered in Philadelphia, where the backdrop was the blood red lights and this dark, ominous message that he delivered to the American people. And he basically declared anybody who wants to make America great again to to be an enemy of the people. And that was really the starting off point for the book, to let people know, hey, look, here's where we are in this country. And it's a reminder of a speech that Ronald Reagan delivered many years ago. And it's a speech that the title of the book was derived from. Reagan said that our national anthem does not start with a declaration. It starts with a question. Is the flag still there? Can you still see it flying? And Sandy, I really truly believe this is a question that every generation of Americans has to ask.
Oh, I think so too. Todd, in prepping for you this morning, I was thinking, you know, I love the national anthem. I started the show before you joined me with the version sung by the J6 prisoners, with President Trump speaking over the top of some of it, singing the national anthem from their jail cells. I've interviewed so many of those guys from the jail and their families, and but the meaning of those words just struck me. As they are in that desperate situation, their patriotism just is a remarkable, beautiful thing. And actually, I'm going to end the show today by talking about the Francis Scott Key and the origins of that song. But we've always taken that song for granted. I don't think you and I have. I think we came from a place and time where that song always has, I'll speak for myself, always has thrilled me. How about you, Todd?
It has. And again, I think, you know, when you study Reagan, and I quote a lot from President Reagan in the book and his writings, and he gave a later speech, which was probably much more well-known, where he talked about freedom not being passed along in the bloodstream, that every generation has to fight for freedom. And that really is the message of Twilight's Last Gleaming, that we have to be willing to fight for freedom. I think we're at this stage in American history, we have at least two generations of young people, millennials and Gen Zers, who have by and large attended public schools where they have been told that America is not great, that America is a problem, and that America is almost a nation that doesn't really even need to exist. And that's a concern. And so that's why I wrote the book. I wanted people to know that this is a country worth saving.
You talk about, and let's go back to that chapter one again, because you lay the groundwork for the damage that Joe Biden has done. He's our current president. It just lay that out. Help people to remember. I think some people think, you know, he is a senile old man. He's not doing anything. He's just an old man. He's got all these people working with him. I actually disagree with that. I think that's partially true, but I think he has been sort of a bad person from the first time I ever became aware of him in public office. Lay the case for why he's causing so much of this disaster.
Well, the question is it really Joe Biden doing this? And I would contend there are others behind the scenes that are pulling those puppet strings, that person being Barack Obama. And I think what's happening, Sandy, is that we are watching the third term of the Obama administration being played out before our eyes. Joe Biden, and for it's certainly not his fault, old age is going to get all of us. There are some things that he's just not able to control. But when you look at the Joe Biden of the 1970s and 80s, that is not the Joe Biden that we have in office, in the Oval Office right now. So Biden actually promised that a dark winter was coming upon the country, and I believe he delivered on that promise. And I think what a juxtaposition when you look at President Trump and the messaging of his campaign. And really, it's not a new message. It's a message that Ronald Reagan introduced to the nation, this idea of making America great again. That was a Ronald Reagan campaign slogan back in the late 1970s and early 80s.
I did not know that. That's very cool. And now it's become like the bally cry for the left after us. Make America great again is where it's a cult. These people are ridiculous. It's amazing, Todd, how the left has twisted. We know you and I, both as believers, know that in these final days, whatever final days are, that everything will be turned on its end, that the wrong will be called right, everything will be upside down. And so that's what we're seeing. So All right. So you talk about Biden, you talk about Ronald Reagan a lot. What is, I want to know, you talk about the need for God in the country, because that's always been a theme of your commentaries and everything you say, and mine too, because I believe that the real answer is turning back to God. But what's your analysis of America and their relationship with God right now?
Well, it's not good, and I would say that a lot of that fault lies with the pastors and the pulpits of America. Many of these pastors have decided not to engage the culture. Many churches, large and small, have become influenced by the culture and not the other way around. And we need pastors that are willing to speak truth to the culture and also to speak truth from the pulpit. And if we don't do that, then I think we're going to have big problems in this country. We're already seeing big problems in the country. When you have, for example, the Catholics, who have really been controlled by a radical leftist pope, when you have the Southern Baptist Convention that has gone woke, those are the two largest religious groups in the country. And when you have that many churches that have been disengaged, I think you get chaos in the culture. And I talk about the idea of absolute truth. We really don't have absolute truth in America anymore. And Sandy, the big problem with absolute truth, everybody has their own truth, right? That's what they tell us. You have yours, I have mine. All right, well, what happens when our truths conflict with each other? Whose truth takes precedent? And that's why I think we have such chaos right now.
Well, we know that the left thinks that their truth takes precedent, and they're setting about to make us all agree with that, to bow the knee to their just perversion and even just irrational choices like what's happening in Israel right now. You know, it's interesting, Todd. I just talked to a young Israeli guy yesterday from Jerusalem, and he's telling me something that just really surprised me. He said, in Israel right now, there's such optimism. Now, I know maybe a week ago that wouldn't have been the case, but after the bombing, the attack by Iran, you wouldn't think that he would say that. But he said there's this sense that God is with us. Because of that attack, you know, we were able to, you know, handle all of the missiles and drones that came our way. We feel that God is with us. There's an optimism. There's like a turning to God. We are united. I was shocked, Todd, and I thought I maybe wanted to move to Israel, because I missed those days in the United States where there was a sense of purpose and oneness, and even if people didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, that would be our way of expressing that personal relationship with God. They honored him and respected him. Those days are so far gone, aren't they?
Well, see, they are, but they don't have to be. And I will say that we're starting to see the rumblings of something happening with this younger generation. There seems to be a return to church. There is a new survey that's out showing that the largest demographic in America now that identifies as conservative is actually young men, 18 to 25 years old. So I think that, you know, as a result of the draconian policies of the left, that they're starting to see blowback among younger Americans. So the question now is, all right, well, what are we going to do with that? And who will be that next generation of leadership that might be able to usher in a new conservative age to America and a Christ-centered conservatism? And that's something I talk about in the book as well. So I really do have hope for the future of America. And the question is, who is going to lead this next generation of young people in America? And will Christians step up and take on their responsibility to stand up for religious liberty in America? And I think those are the big questions that we need to that we talk about in the book. And I really do have hope for America.
Yeah, I do too, Todd. And I would, let me just say, the book is called Twilight's Last Gleaming: Can America Be Saved? Todd has filled this book with stories, anecdotes from, you know, his, he has so many interesting guests and contacts when he opens the phone lines, and stories to tell. And he tells them so beautifully. Like, I'll give you an idea. Jack and Jill ran up the hill and came down gender neutral. Atheists drop kick Christians through goalposts. The chocolates are. The real question we should be asking about drag queens. Disney is the wokest place on earth. I just all across the board, Todd is covering the culture because he's been part of it and covered it for so many years, and he tells fresh stories in new ways. Todd Starnes, it's always a pleasure. You're a champion. You really are. And I hope this book sells beautifully. I think it will. If you go to toddstarnes.com, by the way, you can order this book. It's Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? By Todd Starnes. Todd, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Sandy, always a lot of fun. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
As you're listening to this podcast, and again, that's Sandy Rios, and I want to thank you so much for listening. If you have the means, I wonder if you would consider a leadership gift to saving babies with preborn in a bigger way. It's a tax-deductible donation, and one of $5,000, for instance, would sponsor preborn's entire network for 24 hours. And that usually saves the average of 200 babies. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it, when you think about how that money would be spent. And they do have an incredible track record of saving babies. To donate, all you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. And, of course, if that's too much money for you, $28 provides one ultrasound. So whatever you can afford, go to preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at AFR.net and SandyRios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life, from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. That was my disabled daughter. I talk about I've Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at AFR.net and SandyRios.com.
There was a lawyer once, his name was Francis Scott Key. He penned a song that I'm sure you're aware of. You've seen it. It's in most hymnals throughout our churches. It's called the National Anthem. It is our song as an American. We go, however, to a ball game. We stand in our church services and we sing the words of that song, and they float over our minds and our lips, and we don't even realize what we're singing. Most of us have memorized it as a child, but we've never really thought about what it means. Let me tell you a story. Francis Scott Key was a lawyer in Baltimore. The colonies were engaged in vicious conflict with the mother country, Britain. Because of this conflict and the protractedness of it, they had accumulated prisoners on both sides. The American colonies had prisoners and the British had prisoners. And the American government initiated a move. They went to the British and they said, "Let us negotiate for the release of these prisoners." They said, "We want to send a man out to discuss this with you." They were holding the American prisoners in boats about 1,000 yards offshore. And they said, "We want to send a man by the name of Francis Scott Key. He will come out and negotiate to see if we can make a mutual exchange." On the appointed day, in a rowboat, he went out to this boat and he negotiated with the British officials. And they reached a conclusion that men could be exchanged on a one-for-one basis. Francis Scott Key, jubilant with the fact that he'd been successful, went down below in the boats, and what he found was a cargo hold full of humanity, men. And he said, "Men, I've got news for you tonight. You're free." He said, "Tonight I have negotiated successfully your return to the colonies." He said, "You'll be taken out of this boat, out of this filth, out of your chains." As he went back up on board to arrange for their passage to the shore, the admiral came and he said, "We have a slight problem." He said, "We will still honor our commitment to release these men, but it'll be merely academic after tonight. It won't matter." And Francis Scott Key said, what do you mean? He said, well, Mr. Key, he said, tonight we have laid an ultimatum upon the colonies. Your people will either capitulate and lay down the colors of that flag that you think so much of, or you see that fort right over there, Fort Henry? He said, we're going to remove it from the face of the earth. He said, how are you going to do that? He said, if you will, scan the horizon of the sea. And as he looked, he could see hundreds of little dots. And he said, that's the entire British war fleet. He said, all of the gunpowder, all of the armament is being called upon to demolish that fort. It will be here within striking distance in a matter of about 2.5 hours. He said, the war is over. These men would be free anyway. He said, you can't shell that fort. He said, that's a large fort. He said, it's full of women and children. He says, it's predominantly not a military fort. He said, don't worry about it. They said, we've left them a way out. And he said, what's that? He said, do you see that flag way up on the rampart? He said, we have told them that if they will lower that flag, the shelling will stop immediately. And we'll know that they've surrendered, and you'll now be under British rule. Francis Scott Key went down below and told the men what was about to happen. And they said, how many ships? He said, hundreds. The ships got closer. Francis Scott Key went back up on top and he said, men, I'll shout down to you what's going on as we watch. As twilight began to fall, and as the haze hung over the ocean as it does at sunset, suddenly the British war fleet unleashed. He says, the sound was deafening. There were so many guns that there were no reliefs. He said, it was absolutely impossible to talk or hear. He said, suddenly the sky, although dark, was suddenly lit. And he says, from down below, all he could hear the men, the prisoners, saying was, tell us where the flag is. What have they done with the flag? Is the flag still flying over the rampart? Tell us. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours into the shelling. Every time the bomb would explode and it would be close to the flag, they could see the flag in the illuminated red glare of that bomb. And Francis Scott Key would report down to the men below, it's still up. It's not down. The admiral came and he said, your people are insane. He said, what's the matter with them? He said, don't they understand this is an impossible situation? Francis Scott Key said, he remembered what George Washington had said. He said, the thing that sets the American Christian apart from all other people in the world is he will die on his feet before he'll live on his knees. The admiral said, we have now instructed all of the guns to focus on the rampart to take that flag down. He said, we don't understand something. Our reconnaissance tells us that that flag has been hit directly again and again and again, and yet it's still flying. We don't understand that. But he said, now we're about to bring every gun for the next 3 hours to bear on that point. Francis Scott Key said the barrage was unmerciful. All that he could hear was the men down below praying. The prayer. God, keep that flag flying where we last saw it. Sunrise came. He said there was a heavy mist hanging over the land, but the rampart was tall enough. There stood the flag, completely nondescript, in shreds. The flagpole itself was at a crazy angle, but the flag was still at the top. Francis Scott Key went aboard and immediately went into Fort Henry to see what had happened. And what he'd found had happened was that that flagpole and that flag had suffered repetitious direct hits. And when it had fallen, but men, fathers, who knew what it meant for that flag to be on the ground, although knowing that all of the British guns were trained on it, walked over and held it up humanly until they died. Their bodies were removed and others took their place. Francis Scott Key said what held that flagpole in place at that unusual angle were patriots' bodies. He penned the song, "O say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. O'er the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet fly and wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? The debt was demanded, the price it was paid."
Well, Sandy Rios, back with you. I know that that's not the most professional, but I just thought it was beautiful. And it really moved me so much to hear of the bravery and the courage. I also felt the link between the story of the prisoners in the bottom of that ship who were willing to give up their freedom just because they wanted to maintain the freedom of the country. Even their lives, perhaps, because they were more concerned about the country than they were themselves. Well, you know, that reminds me of that phrase from America the Beautiful about the patriots who more themselves their country love and mercy more than life. I just we've lost that. You know, Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. I don't think Americans are willing to die for much now. I always wonder, that's an interesting discussion, what would you die for? What would you die for? What would you do? What would have to happen before you would give your life? Now, for those of us that are believers, we want to think that we would lay down our lives for our faith. But I'm concerned that we have been so indulged that we don't have the mental strength. We don't pay a price for hardly anything else. We don't want to be disliked by neighbors by saying something or disliked by family. We don't want people to be angry with us. We don't seem to be willing to pay a price for anything. And when we go back in our history and we see how firm and resolved, you know, that's more the heart of God than this self-preservation. It is. I mean, God is just the holy God that we serve. Has a very high bar for integrity and for action. Really, there's a verse. I just stumbled across it. Actually, I heard a pastor preach about this at a conference a few years ago. But cowards are listed on the list of people that won't be in heaven. Like the adulterers, the fornicators, whatever the list is. Cowards. Cowards will not be in heaven. So I'm not saying this to shame any of us. I'm saying this as a way of self-reflecting for myself too. I can't even go the day without a Diet Coke. Honestly, I have to have a Diet Coke. So I don't know what you have to have. Maybe it's your double latte, whatever it is, from Starbucks. Can you really do without? Can you live without? Can you suffer for something? Can you be uncomfortable for something? And what would that be? Well, our founders were suffering, gave up lives and lands in order to preserve freedom for you and for me. And so I just wanted you to hear that story again as we all are challenged to look there. The blood of the patriots is in our blood. I always think about that. Now, maybe some of you are immigrants, but if you've taken on the story of the United States, you've taken on the Constitution, I hope, and the Bill of Rights, and that so many of you, that's why you came. It's a marvelous thing. It's a marvelous thing, a God-inspired document from God-inspired men. And so you're part of the story too. But the blood, literally or figuratively, of those founders is still in our veins. And I think we're going to have to dig down deep and find it to do what it takes to preserve the nation. And certainly, for those of us that are Christians, there's just no option about laying down our lives for our faith. So we have to practice, and we need to probably start now. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7. You know you can call me at 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net. You can go to afr.net and listen to the podcast or any other podcast platform that you like if you're a podcaster. I was surprised talking to many listeners of AFR recently that their podcasting is just not something they are familiar with at all. So if you're not, it's so easy. And the good thing about listening to podcasts as opposed to live radio, which I loved live radio, did it for many, many years. I love it. But podcasting, one of the advantages is you can listen anytime, anywhere, at your leisure. You can binge on shows like you do when you turn on your DVR on television. You can binge listen to shows so that you don't miss anything. It's really a nice convenience. And so I hope you'll try it. Go to AFR.net and try it. You can go to sandyrios.com and try it also. Well, thank you. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.